Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
Wendy Burke was just 1 year old when her life changed forever, because Wendy and her mum, who was pregnant at the time, were on their way home after a hospital appointment when the Dublin Monaghan bombs went off, tragically killing Wendy's mother and her unborn sibling. And now 50 years on from that day today, Wendy is with us here on Lunchtime Live. Wendy, thank you for taking my call and for joining me on the show, first of all. It's hard to believe, Wendy, that you're at the 50th anniversary.
Oh, it's mind-boggling. I can't believe it myself. It feels like a lifetime, but yeah, it doesn't. It feels like it was yesterday kind of thing as well. The fact that we haven't any closure or any moved on any way, shape or form in 50 years is so hurtful, feel so let down. The government have definitely failed us as a group and as citizens of this country. Like, those people were slaughtered. And the government just seems to think that that's powerful course because we were caught up in a political war, because that's exactly what it was. And the families have been just pushed aside, silent, ignored, humiliated, because that's the monument that they have put for the victims is a disgrace. It's down the bottom of Talbot Street. It's not relevant to any of the bomb sites. It was three. It was Parnell Street, Talbot Street and Leinster Street. And yet, that monument is way down the end of town. So that's also insulting.
It's just not, in your opinion, Wendy, it's just not in the appropriate place.
In my opinion, it's just not good enough. It's not good enough for the biggest mass murder in the history of this state. That monument and that remembrance is not good enough. What the government have done in remembering those people is not good enough. They went into town, doing their own business, not a care in the world, and murdered barbarically. A massacre. Like, there was just absolute pandemonium. And nobody knew what was happening, and everybody was running for their lives.
Just take us back, Wendy, just for a few moments. Just take us back to the day. Look, I know you were just, you know, you were 1 year of 1 year of age at the time. But just take us back and tell us what you've heard from family about your mum and her plans that day and what happened.
It was just a normal family going about their business. She was just doing her motherly thing. She was shopping, and my dad was working, and she was just coming through town, and she just never came home. And our family was ruined.
She was going.
I was saved. I could have been murdered. I was saved, but I don't know how I was saved. I don't know how, because there was other children that weren't so lucky, but yeah, the family, the whole dynamics of the family, like, half your family is wiped out in 90 seconds. And you're 50 years fighting for justice, and you have umpteen governments that have just snubbed you and passed the buck and known the devastation that it has caused, known that people, once that's not solved, they can't have closure.
So, am I right in saying that your mum was pushing you in the buggy, was she, Wendy?
No, I was walking. So the buggy and her was like kind of, I was cocooned. So they reckon probably that's maybe what saved me, because I was, you know, the way you see a child pushing their own pram. That's what I was doing. So basically she sheltered me. She possibly saved my life. And if I'd have been in the buggy, I've no doubt I was dead.
Your mum was on her way to a hospital appointment.
She was on her way home. She was around at half five. She stopped off to go to the shop, and then she was on her way home. Shopaholic. Had she not been a shopaholic, she probably would have been home long ago. Well, sure, there you go, sliding doors. So she was just caught bang smack in the middle of it, right outside Tiny.
She was heavily pregnant, wasn't she, Wendy?
The birth was imminent. Like, she was due over the next couple of days.
And she had been in for the hospital appointment, and all the things that any of our listeners, you know, tuned into us today will know, the most normal things in the world.
Absolutely.
And it's a Friday afternoon and you come out of the appointment and probably picking up the few bits maybe that you...
The last minute bits. Yeah, you know yourself, yeah. You're never enough. You're always running for the last minute bits. You're nesting, as you say. And, you know, so she would have dilly-dallied around, obviously because my dad was working because he had a shop. So she was like dilly-dallying around. And then that was it. And then it was in Sheriff Street. We had the shop and all the neighbours in the flats were coming in. Like, they were just amazing. People, they were just amazing. They were like, "Are you home yet, John?" No, and we go looking for them, and they did. Like just normal neighbours. Like, they just went looking for us.
When did your dad find out, Wendy? What happened?
I don't actually know, to be honest. Obviously, when she didn't come home, like, you know, he did fear the worst, but hoped for the best.
And he got the news, news.
Yeah, yeah. Completely changed, like their business was gone. The family was gone. His life, as he planned it, was gone. So, yeah.
Did you suffer any injuries yourself?
I did. I just had a few stitches. It wasn't nothing major. It was just some stitches. But I was perfect. There was no lasting damages, like on my head. So obviously, your hair grow over that. But that be it. I was blessed, if you could call it blessed.
In the aftermath, you know, of everything that happened, Wendy, and growing up, what are your memories of your childhood? You know, when you, I suppose, were old enough to learn and hear and realise what had happened.
Just the hurt and like the pain. You know, it was. Every day, you know.
Would you and your dad talk about it much over the years?
I know. My poor dad's broken. Broken.
It's just never really mentioned.
No, well, I know she is mentioned, but it's hard, like, very, very hard.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he does mention her. He talks about her like it was yesterday, you know, but you have to understand, he's a man that's lived his life for 50 years with a broken heart. And still reared a child and held her 2 grandchildren and has done an amazing job. And he's an amazing man for what he's been through, but hides the broken heart. But actually, I can see through it because I'm going through it myself.
Of course. And over the years on at the anniversary, every year, Wendy, on the 17th of May, would you and your dad over the years, you know, did you have your own little thing that you did?
We do our own thing. We go in. He doesn't really like going into the whole thing in town because all the politicians and stuff like that, he just has no time for them because he knows they'll be all here, but wait until next year. There'll be few and far between. And that's every year. That's all of the time. So we will do our own thing and remember our own way. But we will go in. We do represent her on the day. Well, I'll go in anyway and represent her and my sibling and, you know, honour the rest of the victims. And then we'll go and do our own thing, yeah.
Do your own thing. Will you do anything different this year because it's the 50th anniversary?
No, because to us, like, 50... You know, 20,
sure,
21, it's all hurts the same, all feels the same, all impacts the same. It's, you know, we're not coming out with a big fanfare because it's 50. We've felt the same every year. We're still broken. We're devastated. We're still the same. Like, it doesn't matter because it's 50 years. I'm in shock that it's 50 years and still nothing has been done. But as I said, it's all down to our government and they just refuse point blank to put pressure on the English government and they just push it aside, pay their dues, and that'll be it. Gone.
Nobody's ever been prosecuted?
Nobody, no. And, like, you know, anything that we've ever done as in investigating it and stuff like that gets so far and then it's stopped. And, like, we all know who did it and why it was done. So,
well, the UVF claimed responsibility, didn't they, for the bombings?
Yeah. So they, yeah.
There's always, I know victims have always sort, you know, I suppose suspected the UVF carried out the attacks or the atrocity in collusion with the British state. That is,
yeah,
that's always been the accusation,
yeah,
hasn't it?
Oh yeah, yeah. But sure, look, you just have to look at how it's been handled to know that there's something not right. Because if this was just an ordinary, and I don't mean ordinary, I mean if this was like a terrorist attack, they'd be quick to say, "Oh, IRA," and you'd have your culprits within the year, or any atrocity all over the world. There'll be a name put with the people held accountable, and there'll be justice brought and closure for the families. Why not this one? What is the secret in this one? Why has this been hushed for 50 years? That's what people need to be asking. But if there's nothing to hide, why are these people still fighting for justice for their loved ones?
When it's compared to other atrocities that have happened in the state, do you feel there's just not enough awareness? It's not highlighted enough. There's not enough recognition of what happened. It has to be one of the most deadly attacks that happened during the Troubles.
It is, yeah. It's the forgotten massacre, and it's never mentioned. It's not in any history book, in any of the schools, in any of the curriculum. I do remember one time looking at one of my children's history books, and on the 17th of May, 1974, they were teaching them about some strike in Northern Ireland, some minor strike in Northern Ireland. Like, there's no mention. Like, I would speak to, like, other children, my kids' ages, and they wouldn't have a clue about this. It's definitely, definitely the only one. And it's the biggest mass murder here. Like, not that it matters. One person is too many. But, like, 34, an unborn child, 34 innocent women, and children and men, and it's just forgotten. It's like we've done this and now forget about it. But we can't forget about it. How can you let your loved one die in vain when they were going, as you said, going about their daily business? Somebody has to be held accountable for this. You're held accountable for not having tax and insurance. You face the law for driving on a road with no tax insurance. But yeah, you can plant tree bombs and barbarically murder 34 innocent people for whatever the reason. There is no reason. There is no good reason to do that. Whatever way you're looking at it, there's no reason to murder 34 people or any person.
What would you say, Wendy, today, if you had an opportunity or you were talking to the Taoiseach or to the Justice Minister or Minister for Foreign Affairs? What's your message to them on the 50th anniversary of your mum's and your unborn siblings' death? What would you say to them if you had a chance to speak to them in their ear today?
I'd say they have a lot to answer to. And I'd say, how do you sleep at night? Because there's no point in saying anything else, because they've been asked for 50 years to do their job. They're meant to protect us. They're too busy trying to look good all over the world, and they don't care about their own. They do not care about their own. This happened in any other country. They'd be sending aid, they'd be sending this, sending that, and you know what? That's great. Like, I'm all for helping people. But what about the atrocity? What about the massacre that happened on your own island? And you've just left people fend for themselves. You've left them to, you know, remember their loved ones. You don't remember. It's never on national news. It's never on front pages of the papers, unless it's the 50s or the 40s or, you know,
big milestone anniversary.
You know, and so, like, you'll be told, like, oh, you know, it's 9/11 and it's every paper, or it's what, the tsunami, or it's Oma, or whatever.
Anniversary of the Oma bomb, and I was just going to mention that. Wendy, I know it's a very difficult day for you today, and I'm sure a difficult day for your dad as well. He must be a great age now, Wendy, is he?
Ah, he's still a young man now, he tell you. He's still fiddle.
Yeah, good. He's keeping well, though, is he? You know, health-wise, aside from...
He is, good.
Like,
as I said, he's doing as well as can be expected with a broken heart, and he is a broken man.
Oh, God.
But, you know, he's great.
Well, listen, Wendy, I hope that you get to do something with your dad today to mark the day, and you know, we're thinking of you, and mind yourself and look after yourself.
Thanks very much.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.